Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. In just 4.5 months, we have told the whole story of Jesus. How he was born, his life, ministry, his teaching, his death, and his resurrection. And a small part of me wanted to create a pop quiz for you all this morning and just assess how much we've retained over the weeks, but then I doubted I would even score well on that, because we've covered a lot. Jesus the Messiah was born not as a king or elite member of society, but born to a courageous and wise teenage mother in tuned to injustice in the world. A father that was committed to his family when rumors were being spread about them. Jesus, from the beginning, built community, calling common laborers to join him in creating a radically different way of being in the world. He called it the kingdom of God. All were welcome, especially those in need of assistance or companionship. There were no co-pays for his healings, no minimum income to join him, and he taught publicly in the town square, in front of Roman guards and religious leaders obsessed with prominence and power. He taught them and preached the ways of God to turn the other cheek, to love those who persecute you, to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you have two coats, share with someone who is cold and in need. And on the mountain, right, he preached a sermon, "Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those that make peace, for they will be called children of God." And Jesus lets nothing get in the way of God's purpose. The long road trips, not road, but by foot, the stormy seas, threats, confrontation, even crucifixion. And as Frederick Buechner is quoted to have said, whenever the gospel of love is said and not challenged, it is not the gospel of love. Jesus lived a gospel of love that neither death nor hate nor violence could overcome. And last week, we affirmed that is still true today because Christ has risen. Now, I realize that we know the story, right? But how often do we forget it or don't allow it to be lived through us? It is a great story in which something new always seems to be revealed as we tell it. But how often do we disregard this gospel of love and communal well-being as being too idealistic or too unrealistic? Easter was not just last week. It is today. But how quickly we forget. We forget Jesus' life. And we may even forget that it was the way in which Jesus lived that led to salvation, not just who he was. You may have heard that there was a study published this past week by a Dr. Marte Oten who found that human memory may be unreliable after just a few seconds. And I can relate to that on some days. And in his study, he showed participants a circle of random letters and told them to look at it and remember the details. And then he showed them a second circle of letters, which they were instructed to completely ignore, which acted as a distraction. Then they were asked to select from a series of options a target shape that had been in the first circle. Participants were then asked to rate their confidence in choice, and it was very high. Yet only 37% got it right, even though they were 100% confident. No surprise, the distraction circle played a role in not remembering. But a key finding in the study was also the participants' expectations. In this case, their knowledge of the alphabet, of what letters would come next, played a key role. Dr. Oaten concluded that when we have strong expectations about how the world should be, when our memory starts to fade a little bit, even after 1 or 2 seconds, that we start filling in based on our expectations. It's been a week since Easter. I don't know about you, but I've had many distractions in that time. When we were reminded last week that love wins, that Easter is a hope that we can always have a comeback, that God is with us in God's work, the news of yet another mass shooting quickly may have deflated our expectations that Easter is all around us. And it is easy to forget that love is more powerful when we focus so hard on those 3 days in the tomb. This morning's scripture lesson speaks to the time following Easter, the time we're in right now. The 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain, and while scholars do not know for certain, it is speculated the mountain refers to the very mountain where Jesus gave those infamous sermons with the Beatitudes. And then suddenly Jesus appears before them, and they begin to worship. A scripture says that some doubted. Not all, but some doubted. Some doubted that life really could be possible after death. Some doubted that God's ways through Jesus could actually overcome imperial doctrine of force and the power of fear and violence. They expect the world and its systems of inequality to continue. And if we are being honest, we do too. Usually we do not include verses 11 through 15, but it speaks to the reality of Easter. After hearing that Jesus rose from the dead, the guards and the religious leaders that worked together to put Jesus on the cross have a problem. It turns out that the movement for human dignity and justice was not killed with Jesus on the cross because Jesus didn't die. They thought, what would happen if the crowds heard about this? Would they protest, just like they did on Palm Sunday, declaring Jesus is the Son of God over Caesar? Would the movement become more alive than ever? And after 3 short days, the empire and temple authority realize that they have a problem. And how do those trying to protect their power respond? Well, how do those in power today respond to try to protect their power? In the story, the guards and the priests make a backdoor deal. In a transfer of hush money, they agree to perpetuate a lie, to misinform the public that resurrection is possible, to sow doubt. Their purpose is to make sure that people do not believe that this change is possible. They want people to think that Jesus is really dead, which is to keep them from imagining a new world, God's world, a kingdom of God, where all people are welcome and worthy of what they need to live and thrive. The very story of Jesus, they want others to forget. And since the beginning, the church has struggled to remember who Christ has called them to be. It was Mahatma Gandhi who said, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. You Christians are so unlike your Christ. I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. You Christians are so unlike your Christ." when we forget who Jesus was, what he taught, what he did, how he loved, then we too may be more interested in maintaining our privilege and power than living the resurrection of good news. After all, it was Christians that set out to colonize and save souls of other nations while extracting wealth and resources at the expense of destroying both culture and other lives. It was Christians who declared manifest destiny in this country that God ordained white Christians to conquer indigenous people and to take their land and with it the resources. It was Christians that justified slavery using scripture, inflicting generational trauma on exploited black bodies. There are Christians today that use scripture to exclude and condemn LGBTQIA peoples, supporting dangerous policies and perpetuating discrimination. I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Matthew 28, 16 through 20, known as the Great Commission, can be a danger. There is even a temptation in these verses that have been used to justify many crucifixions over time. And if we today do not ground these words within the story of Jesus, if we today do not ground these words in God's promise that steadfast love endures even in death, if we focus the resurrection only on ourselves and getting into heaven, or using it to justify why we are superior, then we have forgotten what Easter is all about. But if we ground the Great Commission as a continuation of walking with Jesus, if we ground it to mean that disciples of all nations, remembering a gospel of inclusivity, if we ground baptizing as an acceptance into a new way of being, a community where all are cared for and have what they need, if we teach others the lessons of love your neighbor as yourself in a world of war and greed, we may find that we are not alone. Jesus assures them, "I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." Dr. Oaten found that when we have strong expectations about the world and how it should be, when our memory starts to fade a little bit, even after 1 or 2 seconds, then we start filling it in based on our expectations. As Easter people, when we wonder or doubt if the gospel of love lives or has any real power, may we fill that doubt with the assurance that Christ is indeed with us. May we live as ones expecting a gospel of love that can overwhelm hate, violence, and death. And the story of Christ does not end with resurrection, but begins by the way we choose to live resurrection. And so as Easter people, our faith is grounded in the risen Christ, and we are called boldly to continue God's work as partners with Christ. Amen. Amen.